to you, we combine the two. It's going.
Yes, it makes it much easier.
Where should we start, Mrs. Groves? Would you like to talk about how you ever got involved with the suffragettes?
Oh, I was born into it. My mother was a rebel. But she didn't tie herself to railings and that sort of thing. But we were into it. It was during the war, wasn't it?
Just before the war, yes.
When they were... When the Clarion was telling all the world that Germany was heading for our extinction, didn't quite make it.
So you really followed your mother, did you?
Yes. My father wasn't. He wasn't against us, but he didn't go to meetings and talk about it everlastingly in the home. Mm. He used to go out when mother got a pal there who'd start putting the world right. Dad would go for a walk.
So was your mother a Labour supporter then?
Oh yes. Mm. Yes, we took the Clarion and the New Age and the Labour leader.
Did you read all the newspaper, all the Labour newspapers?
All those, yes. Mm. Are they going now?
No, they've all died, all of them now.
All of them?
The only one, well, even the Daily Herald died now. They're all dead. But they were the papers to have if you voted Labour in those days, weren't they?
Actually, they
Well, you didn't vote, did you?
Mm. No, of course you wouldn't vote. Course,
no.
So then your mother was a feminist and a socialist, and you followed on after her.
I followed her doctrines, and I've never left them. When I started work, my mother was a vegetarian. And amongst her crowd was a very advanced man who was so advanced his wife couldn't keep up with him, so she left him. And she left him with one boy. And before she could get hold of this boy, or make arrangements, he slipped off with Cossie to Australia, and that's how I meant to him.
Hmm.
Don't know anything about him, but...
But who was he? I'm not quite with you.
Oh dear.
But your mother, was she a real character? I mean, was she a real strong personality, your mother?
Ah, that's... Yes, she was a very strong personality. Yes. She had a brother who never walked. He went about on his hands and knees.
Yes.
And...
Sort of spastic, was he?
Oh, no, he was very intelligent. In fact, he was the brains of the family.
Good heavens. But he was just deformed, was he?
He was, yes, he was born crippled. I expect if he was such a child came into the world now, it would be straightened up before it was turned out of the hospital.
Mm.
I always understood it could have been a very simple thing.
Mm.
You know, that the medical science has advanced much more now.
So did she just have the one brother, or did she have several brothers and sisters?
Oh, she had two other brothers.
Did she?
And six other sisters.
Six?
Six or seven or eight.
Were they all interested in the Labour Party and suffrage?
No. Some of them were very interested in chapel and church. Chapel, because his grandfather was a keen Wesleyan. But, what did you say?
Were the brothers and sisters interested in the women?
Oh, no, one aunt, younger than mother, and one of the brothers, but The crippled brother was the brains of the family, yes. He brought all the new ideas into the family, and these two girls, Grace and Lydia, my mother was Lydia, they followed Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam was the crippled one.
The crippled one, yes.
And he was a socialist as well, was he?
Yes, I don't know how he got converted.
That's very interesting. So she got it really from a man. She got her feminism from a man.
Yes, there were other women in the movement as well.
Oh yes, yes.
Mrs. Alton, John Alton. That was the man's name who took his son to.
Yes.
And I believe Lily, the daughter, if she's alive, she's just about as old as me.
Is she?
The mother will be dead.
Get hold of her.
Of course.
I'll see if I can find her. It doesn't sound. I'd like to talk
Lily?
To her. Yes. But
I couldn't give you a single clue because I've been.
You lost touch.
I've
you?
Left. Oh, I never was in touch with her. Very much. But her mother was a very keen spiritualist.
Oh, was she really? Yes.
And John, the husband, you see, was a very practical, scientific sort of chap. He was a vegetarian, and she couldn't stand that. She couldn't stand his stuffy head.
But you were you're a vegetarian as
I'm
well,
a
aren't you?
Yes.
How did Stella?
You got that from your mother as well, did you?
Yes.
Yes.
I was brought up that way. He went to work. He was an artist, really. He was a carver.
John Alton.
That's your
John Alton.
Oh yes.
And he worked on the railway. And his very poor wages at that time. And to make up his wages, he used to buy the vegetarian foods that were going then. Some of the firms have died out ages ago. Mapleton's are still going. They were Quakers. That's how.
So your mother was a Wesleyan as well, was she?
Oh yes, she was. Grandfather was a red hotter. He was so long worked for the Wesleyans, preached for them up and down the little communities in and round Derby, that he had a pension.
Did he really? What, from the Wesleyans?
From the Wesleyans.
Did he?
And he lived to be 92.
So your mother was a Wesleyan all her life, and then did she go in for theosophy at all?
Oh yes, all those peculiarisms. And there was a chap named Loftus Hare. He was a theosophical part of the education.
What about you? Did you become a theosophist as well?
No, I never joined them. I used to go to the meetings. And because I sold vegetarian food and knew what they were talking about, I had a good many friends who were, but I never joined a society.
Because there were quite a lot of suffragettes became theosophists, didn't they?
Then Annie Besant was the leader.
That's right. Yes. Do you think that's why, really? Because Annie Besant was the link between theosophy and women?
Yes, I think she was.
Yes.
Krishnamurti.
Yes.
Was the one she launched.
Yes, that's right.
He's the great Messiah.
Yes. Yes.
And when she died in India.
That's right, yes. She had an extraordinary career, Annie Besant, really.
Yes.
Remarkable. But can you tell, I don't know the beginning really, can you tell me your mother's name before she married?
Dean. Lydia.
Lydia Dean.
Dean, yes.
And she married who?
James Robinson.
James Robinson, I see. And so she became Lydia Robinson.
She became Lydia Robinson.
I see. What did she do before she married then? Did she have a job at all, Mrs. Groves?
Yes, she used to be the post girl. Take the post round in Alwaston. I don't think I could... I can't mentally trace where the post office would be if it was anywhere now.
She had a full-time job as a post girl then, before she married?
She wasn't employed by the post office.
Ah.
No. Buckley. Buckley's, some people named Buckley's.
Mm.
Had the post office and they employed my mother.
I see. What did she do? She went round with letters, did she?
Oh, yes, yes. There was no swearing in and no... She wasn't an officer of the Crown and like there is now. She didn't wear a uniform or a badge or anything. She just took the letters around.
Why did she do that? Do you know? I mean, was it?
Oh, she did it for money. They paid her.
Yeah.
And then she had her father and a younger sister and his crippled brother at the home, and she looked after them all until she married.
Did she really? So she had quite a lot of responsibility at a young age.
She did.
Mm.
Eventually.
But that was out of necessity, obviously, not because of belief that I'm going to go to work, because women
clearly,
don't
yes,
normally
yes,
go. It wasn't a stand like that.
Mm. So then she married Mr. Robinson.
Mm.
What was Mr. Robinson then?
He was a blacksmith in Rotherham. And a friend came to Derby with his mother and father. I think it was his... It was his father, but it wasn't his mother.
Mm-hmm.
He was a half-child, as it were.
Yes.
And George came... George Coleman came with his people, and they were just building the railway and getting busy in the iron part of the railway, the lines and buffers and so on. And George wrote to my father and said, there's plenty of work here, why don't you come? And he came. And he lived with the, what was the name?
Colemans.
And then he married.
Married your mother?
Married my mother.
Mm.
And she was already in the old home, grandfather's old home. And Aunt Sarah, a sister of mother's, took grandfather, and mother and my father kept Uncle Sam. And but Uncle Sam was very... It was just when bicycles were coming into fashion, and he used to mend punctures.
Did he?
Yes, shilling a time for mending a wheel and mending a puncture.
Mm.
And he had a shed.
So he wasn't just a burden, he really could
things. Yes, he's got a lot of ability.
Mm.
And he showed my father. My father learned how to build frames, and anyway, they did pretty well out of it. Mm. And then they left the cottage and went to live at the house that you can see now, 1253 London Road.
Mm.
Mm. And
so did your father become a sort of bicycle expert then? Or did he stay a blacksmith?
Oh no, he didn't stay the blacksmith. Bicycles came into production, you know, by some big firm, a firm called Kirk and Merrifield, and we imported these. But when we first came to the shop, we sold pots and shoes, and we had club tickets. People used to pay sixpence and so much a week, you see. They'd pay for this pair of boots and that pair of boots, or this set of plates. And
it was a way of saving up, really, wasn't
it? Was, yes, yes.
But Grandpa didn't work in the shop, did he? Grandma just kept that.
Oh, yes.
I see.
I helped to keep the shop.
Did you?
I was growing up then and used to run in to keep the shop.
So he carried on with blacksmith position?
He didn't actually. He became a sanitary inspector, didn't he?
Yes. He, what happened in the first? Something pushed him to work for the council.
Perhaps it was Labour people in the council encouraged him to do it. Do you think?
Well, no, he wasn't particularly Labour.
Wasn't he? Liberal?
No, it wasn't politics that got him there at all. I can't say
so. Not to worry, anyway. He later became a inspector.
Yes. Mm. He, I think it was. No, I thought it was when they were building this house, at the 1253.
Mm.
He got interested in somebody who was an architect.
Mm.
And this man taught him a bit about drawing plans.
He sounds quite a lively character, actually, your father.
Oh, he wasn't a lively character, he was a very, very quiet man.
Was he? But intelligent?
Yes, and kindly and friendly. Mm. Friendly to everybody, didn't he? My mother led the way and Father just said yes.
When did Grandma really become interested and start going to suffragette meetings or movement for women or
Labour
parties?
Yes, when did it start up, really, the women's movement work?
I know in 1908 you went with Grandma to London to a big
rally.
That's the Hyde Park rally.
Yes. That's right,
yes.
You got that recorded somewhere.
Yeah, so it's a very big thing, wasn't it?
It was.
But how did you first join the WSPU? It was the WSPU you belonged to, was it? The Mrs. Pankhurst thing?
Did you actually belong?
It wasn't called the WSPU then.
I see.
It was just called the Suffragettes.
Yes, I see, yes. And anyway, how did you get involved with it then? Through your mother, I
suppose. Through my mother. My mother used to go and I went. But first of all, this Loftus Hare used to run progressive, very interesting meetings on progressive lines on Sunday afternoons. And we used to walk from Alverston to Derby to the Mechanics Institute to listen to these lectures.
Was he a woman? Was he a feminist? I mean, did he?
Loftus Hare.
Yes. Did he encourage women's rights and health?
Oh yes. Mm. He didn't didn't carry any banners, but she was just very well known.
Mm.
And
I haven't come across him. I ought to look him up.
Was he purely local, though? Loftus Hare. Was he just a local man?
Oh yes, he was only was local.
What, did he have a sort of chapel then, or a?
No.
No, he was just a speaker.
He lodged. No, he seemed to be quite an odd man. I wish I could remember.
Anyway, you went to these afternoon.
He lived with a Miss somebody who lived opposite Christ Church on Normanton Road.
Mm.
And there was a woman who was in the Theosophical Society, and we used to talk among ourselves which one he would marry. the woman who was the lodger, he was a lodger at, oh, this sort of woman. Well, he married the other woman. But what became of them then, I don't know.
But do you think that that's what interested your mother in the women's movement, going to his lectures then?
Oh yes, and mine too. I was just at the age when, gracious me, I can, there was a Dr. Singian, who was a progressive man, pal of his, Loftus Hare's too. I remember him giving a lecture on the common or garden house fly to show you how it spread its diseases.
Interesting. So you had lectures on quite a lot of progressive things.
Yes. Mm. I can't think of any other lectures.
Mm.
So there was also an Esperanto movement going then.
Was it? Yes.
Yes. It since died.
So did they form a branch of the suffragettes locally then that you joined? Is that how it started? Did you go along to meetings organised in a branch?
No, I don't think they did.
Hmm. So you just went along to these meetings and
these
you...
Other, yes, and we were all known to be interested in the suffrage movement, but we didn't form a society.
Mm. So then what did you do, Mrs. Groves? Were you militant? Did you chain yourself to railings or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. I haven't. No, I didn't distinguish myself anyway.
And did your mother do any of that?
No, she... My mother... Oh, I used to go to the meetings in the marketplace and sell these newspapers, the
Boats
Clarion
for Women
and the New Age and
Boats
for Women papers.
Mm.
And they used to, there was some group of women, because they used to sell tea to get money.
That's right, they did. That's the WSPU.
Yes. Yeah, WSPU.
Yes, Women's Social and Political Union.
Yes.
Mm. But, so did your mother do any speaking for the...
No.
Mm. She was just a backroom girl, sort of
thing. Yes, she was willing to take in speakers who came and make them comfortable. And
did your father move out when that happened?
Oh, no, they didn't. They were always...
You
nice,
just didn't get
nice
involved.
Nice people, and
then
nobody started laying the law down in the house.
Mm.
So the only positive thing you did to show your support for the suffragettes was by going to the big rally in London. How did you show that you were really interested
well,
in
she
in
sold
the
paper. You sold the papers.
I sold the papers and went to the meetings. Also, the socialist movement became almost bigger than the suffrage. It involved the suffrage.
Mm.
Used to go to socialist Sunday school and to the Esperanto class and to these lectures at the Mechanics Institute and generally progressive things.
So it's all part of a sort of progressive world,
yes,
in a way.
It was.
Oh yes, there were so many things going on at that time.
Interesting, yes. What was it like selling the papers then in the market?
Oh, it was all right. You either did or you didn't sell them. They either wouldn't have them or they took one.
They didn't insult you or
make
rude remarks?
I never had any unpleasant experience like that.
Mm.
I heard your interview on the television.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember the other lady who was
yes.
with you. But I found myself a little bit mystified as to where you actually stand.
Yeah, well,
on
it's
this.
7 minutes, you can't really get very far, can you?
No, the impression was that you felt the suffragette movement was, well, what?
Did you go for adult suffrage, Mrs. Groves, or was it just equal suffrage you supported? Do you remember?
It was equal suffrage.
Equal. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that women could possess their own property.
Yeah.
You see, they couldn't.
Yes.
When they, before this, when they married, their property went to their husband.
Yes, yes. But you went to Hyde Park. How was that organised? How did you arrange that?
I don't know at the beginning how it began.
We have a railway ticket. The actual ticket, which does state that I think it was 5 shillings.
Yes.
And I always understood from you that you could travel from any point in England.
Yes.
Wherever you lived, the fare to London was only 5 shillings, even if you lived in Scotland.
It was a concessionary thing.
Yes.
All, yes, I see, yes.
To allow them to travel at a reasonable rate.
So you went with your mother, Mrs. Burns?
So I went with my mother, yes.
Mm.
I went from Derby, and the train started in Manchester, came through Stockport and down through Derbyshire to Derby, and it was crowded.
Full of suffragettes,
full
and nobody else?
No.
It was an ordinary
no,
train?
Men as well, not whether they would be used. I don't know how old they were.
Hmm. And then you got to London, and then what did you do then?
Well, we formed a crocodile outside Hyde Park, outside St Pancras Station, and then we walked all the way to Marble Arch.
In procession?
In procession, yes, about 4 deep. And then we split up into where there were platforms, you see.
They had lots of platforms,
yes,
didn't they? Yes.
21 platforms. You couldn't move in Hyde Park. Oh, it was a terrific crush.
Did you hear Mrs. Pankhurst or Mrs. Pevitt Lawrence or any of the
oh,
leaders?
Oh, yes. Yes, I heard Mrs. Pankhurst, but later on I became much more interested in Adela Pankhurst.
Oh, did you? Yes. Was she a local organiser then here?
Mrs. Pankhurst?
No, Adela Pankhurst.
No.
I was wondering.
No, but she wrote in papers and I liked what she...
Mm.
She was a vegetarian and she wrote in the veggie books.
So when you'd been to the meeting in Hyde Park, what did you do then? You came straight back, did you?
Yes, we made straight for the station and a place to sit in the train. It was so crowded.
Was it exciting going to London?
It was for me, I'd never been. I think I was nearly safety pinned to my mother's skirts. Yes, I got lost.
How old were you then, Mrs. Groves? I didn't know when you were born.
I'm 92.
Mm.
I was born in 92.
1892.
Yeah. So you were about, let me just think, you were about 16 then, weren't you?
Yes, I was, yes.
So you stuck to your mother all through? All through that procession? And
oh, yes, yes, I didn't get lost.
That was a great meeting, that. It was one of the biggest meetings they've ever had. And it's one of the things the suffragettes did. They had these fantastic meetings.
Mm.
So you came back to Derby then. You carried on local work, really, did you? After that, for the women's movement?
Well, I didn't, because I was involved in the shop.
I see.
In my own vegetarian enterprise.
I see, yes.
Running a...
I suppose just come home and talk about it, and this is the extent of the women's suffrage movement in Derby, I think. It was just talked about and brought out into the open, like all the other things, the Clarion Club and the Labour Party and injustices of the world and the war and so on.
Did you actually start off a shop on your own, or did your mother start it off, the vegetarian shop then?
Well, what have I already told you about this?
Well, you had the shop which sold...
Yeah, what was the...
Well, you had the shop. Grandma had the shop at Ulverston, pots, shoes, hardware, but you opened the shop for health foods on Normanton Road.
From this John Alton.
On your own, did you?
Yes.
Grandma didn't have anything to do with your shop, did she?
No, it was a bit of a lock-up shop, and John Alton wanted to possess his boy, and he took his boy, Cussie, to Australia, and nobody's ever heard anything of him since.
Was the property his?
So you bought the shop from him? Did you?
No, it wasn't going. It was an empty shop. He left me. He used to go round to people's houses who would buy, who were interested in his
vegetarian
things. Yes, we used to buy a £28 bucket of nut fat, because we didn't use lard, you see.
And he left you the round?
He left me the round.
And you decided to open
and
the
I
shop?
And I opened the shop.
Ah, I see.
How old were you when you opened your shop, Mrs. Groves?
Well, I was about 16.
Were you really? It was a very adventurous thing to do, wasn't it?
Yes. I don't know what it was in those days, but I used to open the shop in the daytime, take things round to where I'd got to go to take them. There were people scattered in different parts of Derby.
To carry on his round?
Yes.
I see.
In Croton there were some people named Pye and Hodgkinson and Roberts.
You just went to visit regular vegetarians
I ordered one week what they'd have the next week, you see.
I see, yes.
And I took it round.
But generally speaking, anyone who was interested in vegetarianism was also, they were progressive.
Oh, absolutely.
They were interested in all the other isms which were going.
Yes. So when you got the vote, Mrs. Groves, you voted Labour, did you?
I suppose I did. I don't remember who was going then.
Yes, I mean you stayed on the left.
There was Jimmy Thomas.
Yes.
Who else was there?
Well, I don't know about Derby, but certainly Jimmy Thomas was a big figure in Derby, wasn't he?
Yes, he was the railwayman. And Will Raines, Reuben Farrow, they were all people who were victimised.
Can we get back to your mother again for a moment? What made her a suffragette, do you think? Why did she become a suffragette, do you think? What was the reason for it?
I think Joan think common sense. She wasn't victimised in any way. It was just fair play.
She just believed in justice.
Yes, she just believed in justice.
And she stayed, you know, a supporter of women's causes all through. So did she, how did she manage the house with your father then? Did she, did he do some of the work, some of the housework, or how did they?
Well, you see, we had a shop, and I was growing up, and I helped, and they had a helper in the house, because she had this crippled brother living with her. Yeah.
Who was the helper in the house?
Annie Clark. She married a Mr. Bradley.
So she did all the hard work, did she? And your mother and father ran the business, really?
Yes.
Well, Grandpa didn't do any shop work.
He didn't do any business, no. Grandfather was busy with the council work.
I see. So she did it all on her own, really?
They had coal rationing, didn't they, in those days?
Right, I don't know.
I'm not sure. Anyway, so your mother was a pioneer, really, in women's careers, in a way.
Lots of ways.
Was she? What other ways did she pioneer, do you think?
Oh, sensible clothing.
Did she?
She was very keen on vegetarianism. That was her biggest cry, you know.
Who made her a vegetarian then? What was that?
This John Alton.
I see, did he?
Yes.
He was a local, what he was he?
I don't know how he came to Derby at all.
Anyway, she was influenced by him and became a vegetarian herself.
Yes. I don't know what became of his wife.
Well, that's very interesting.
When after I'd opened my shop, I did once see his daughter, Lily, but I didn't speak to her. She was a bit older than me. I never knew what happened to her.
Did your mother have any other children, or was the only child, in fact?
No, I had a brother and a sister.
Did you? And was your sister involved with the women's movement, or was she too young?
No, she wasn't very keen. It had faded down a bit. When in the early days, she used to go to the Socialist Sunday School with me, and it was a case of me being responsible for her, and she had to go with me. But she soon dropped it.
When you say your mother went in for sensible clothing, what do you mean, Mrs. Groves, really? What sort of things did she wear?
Well, they were pioneering low-neck dresses and Holland pinafores. Things which, as a child, I hated. I wanted nice, white, crisp pinafores like other girls with bits of lace on. And she wanted sensible things.
Things that are easy to
wash. No corsets.
Yes,
no stockings. Sandals.
Interesting.
All those sorts of things.
Short hair.
Short hair, yes.
Yes.
I think I was the second person in Derby to have my hair cut.
Patty Wielding
was the first. She'd been to London. I'd been to Winnie's. I think she'd been to see Winnie in Southampton.
So she was progressive in lots of ways, really, your mother. Can you tell me what happened at these socialist Sunday schools? What went on? Because they've all vanished now.
Well, they had a choir. They always used to have a sing-song. and we had a hymn sheet. I used to play the piano.
So it was just like a chapel meeting Sunday
oh,
school.
Yes,
eh?
It was. Run.
Just the same.
Yes, yes.
But different words.
Yes. Mm. And we split up into different ages. I can't remember what we used to talk about.
And you had teachers there to instruct you?
There'd be somebody who would tell you, read you a story from Tolstoy or some parable sort of story.
What happened? Sorry.
I believe the socialist hall's gone now altogether.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is in Dalton
Hall Street? Yes, it's, I'm afraid it has. They've stopped yeah. this civic hall that there's such a song and dance about.
Yes.
Has gone up in that little corner, Fulsteep Street area.
But what happened in the First World War then, Mrs. Groves? I mean, did your mother oppose the war? Do you remember?
Oh, yes, we were certainly punished a bit for that, because we were pacifists. There was no conscription fellowship.
Oh, was she?
It was then on the go.
Mm.
I forget who was the big chaps then doing it.
So what happened?
McManus.
You got persecuted, did you?
Yes, oh yes, we were very much criticised because you... if we were attacked, we used to say, well, if you want to kill somebody, you can't do it. Don't send the young ones.
And you and your mother both thought that the war was wrong?
Both the same, yes.
Mm. Because Mrs. Pankhurst was very much in favour of the war, wasn't she? She went round recruiting.
She did, yes. It's where we parted company. Where Adelaide, she was the pacifist.
That's right. Mm. So you left the women's, Mrs. Pankhurst women's movement?
Oh, yes.
Did you?
It got much too respectable. Too ordinary.
Did you actually form a different branch, a new branch?
No, I don't remember that.
Mm. You just drifted out.
Drifted out.
Mm.
Really, moved into the No Conscription Fellowship?
Yes.
War.
Mm. Mm. So what happened to your mother in her later life then after the war? She still carried on running this shop, did she? All her life?
Oh, no.
But she gave that up?
She came, my father built this place, and they came and lived here.
I see.
Did Edna, the sister, take the shop over?
Yes.
When Grandma moved here?
Yes. Yes.
So your mother retired, really, did she, from work?
Yes.
When did Grandpa die? Because Grandma died in 1934,
did
I can
you?
Just remember her.
Yes.
But
1929.
Grandpa
died.
They only came here in 1926.
Yes.
See. And she was
yes.
really retired by that time, wasn't
by
she?
That time, yes.
Yes.
How old was Grandma when she died?
Well, she was 25 when I was born, so what would she be?
25 when you were born in 1892. 1892.
Work that out at leisure, perhaps.
Yes. Need a pencil and paper for that one. But talking of clothes, now I can, as I say, vaguely remember Grandma, but she didn't wear low necked dresses.
In later life.
She's
still,
yes.
They'd still got a little ruff or a frill round the neck.
Oh yes, they got a lot lower than that.
Can you tell me, your daughter knows your mother, but can you tell me what your mother was like as a person? You say she was a rebel, really, wasn't she? But what else would you say about her?
Oh. Not much. She wasn't a warm, cuddly sort of mother. She was very well managed and...
Was she good?
Not very demonstrative. She felt very deeply because she was so sincere at exposing the injustices of the world, but...
So did you have rather a raw deal as children, do you think, then? I mean, if she wasn't demonstrative to you?
Oh, no, no.
It didn't matter?
No.
Was she a good-looking woman, do you think?
I wouldn't say, I don't know.
I suppose you don't
No, she
know,
wasn't.
Really,
no, she was rather gaunt.
Was she?
Yes.
Very thin-featured.
What about housekeeping? Was she a good housekeeper, your mother?
Yes, I think she managed things all right.
She had help, of course, as you said.
Yes, oh yes. Because we had Uncle Sam. And
of course, yes.
I can remember it like an everlasting job on a Saturday to bring a bowl of water to the fireplace, near the fireplace, and take his shirt off and wash his back and wash him where he couldn't wash for himself.
It was quite a responsibility, that, wasn't it?
Yes, he was.
But of course, in those days, where else could they go? The family had to look after their needy, didn't they?
But he was a socialist as well, was he?
Oh yes, he was very left, very. I think there's several, lots of books over there and in drawers in the some parlour there, all got his name on, Samuel Dean.
He sounds a very interesting character.
He was. And he had pretty well a palsy. He shook a lot in the end.
How long did he die young then, Mrs. Gross?
Oh no, he didn't. He was 60 something.
Was he really? He sounds a really interesting person. Did you ever meet him?
No. I didn't realise that he was the one who probably introduced all these new
theories and cults
into their life.
What about, why did you become vegetarians, your family, Mrs. Gross? Was it for health reasons or?
Humanity reasons.
Was it?
Yes.
The same reasons that led you to oppose the war?
Yes.
What about vaccination and vivisection and all those things?
Oh, well, they all went bad. No, I don't think Edna was ever vaccinated.
You didn't want people messing about with
them? They wasn't vaccinated.
No, we still have them.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. What other things did your mother...
What are those, Faye?
They're the magazines,
Vegetarian and the anti-vivisection animal welfare, it's called now.
Yes. What other causes did your mother support, apart from socialism and vegetarianism and women?
Well, there just wasn't anything else to support.
That's pretty good, isn't it, really? I was wondering whether she ever joined, women's organisations between the wars, after enfranchisement, whether she...
She was so disappointed that they didn't make more of it.
Was she?
The women took the vote and let the men tell them where to put the cross. They didn't.
Mm.
So she was quite disappointed in a way,
was she? She was in that, yes.
Was she really? Interesting. Do you remember her voting for the first time in 1980? Because quite a lot of suffragettes remember that quite well, you know. They remember going into the booth for the first time. That's very interesting. What were her hobbies? What did she do in her spare time? I suppose she didn't have much spare time.
She didn't. No, I never do do any knitting. She never did crochet.
What about talking? Was she a great talker?
Oh, she was a great talker. Anyone who starts a subject, she'd have a point of view.
Did she read a lot?
Not an awful lot, because her eyes began to bother her. She had a reading glass, and she followed it with that. Mm.
Did she have a good voice, Mrs. Groves, your mother?
No.
Mm. So she wasn't a speaker in public, really?
No, she wasn't a public speaker at all. Mm. And I never heard her never saw her get upon her feet in a meeting and ask a question.
No.
She didn't like publicity much, although these things were deep in her mind.
But she liked an argument, she liked talking.
Oh, yes. She and Uncle Sam were very great pals.
They talked about socialism
together. Yes.
It sounds an interesting partnership, those two.
Yes. It really was a wonderful time to be living in.
Oh, very exciting, really. I mean, you expected the world, you know.
Yes.
Instead of being rather disillusioned, as we are.
And, of course, it did have a lot of bearing on so many things.
Mm. Mm. And where do you come in? What's your idea? What are you doing?
Well, it shows you've still got plenty of curiosity, haven't you?
This is it. I think this is it. Yes.
I'm writing about the women's movement from 1900 till 1940. So I'm going quite a long way beyond the suffrage period. And I'm seeing who's active after women have got the vote. Is it the militants or non-militants or who, you know? So I'm looking at it over quite a wide time span. Did you have any non-militants here? Did you know in Derby? Any people who followed Mrs. Fawcett? People in the National Union, women's suffrage societies?
No.
Because there were quite a lot of them, weren't there, at one time?
I don't think I came across them. I wonder why I didn't.
Perhaps there weren't any in Derby, I'm not
quite
sure.
What do you call them? The what?
The non-militants, you know, the people who weren't in favour of violent action.
No, they weren't.
What about antis? Were there any antis in Derby?
No.
There were quite a lot of organised anti-suffragists who broke up meetings. But obviously not.
I never saw or heard of that happening.
Mm. What did they think?
I think only once. I don't remember what happened. I only remember my father being somewhere on the scene and rescuing my mother from a mob who were harassing her. Hmm. He sort of
stepped in and rescued her,
yes.
Because some suffragettes were quite unpopular, you know, when they did damage.
Yes. The Wealdons were often blamed for what do you call it, church?
Arson. Are you burning the Beeston church?
No, not Beeston.
Bristol, that's right.
Yes. But they vowed they weren't. They vowed they weren't. And somebody once tried to drag me into the blame, and I was out with the Clarion Cycling Club that day, so I was let off. But they weren't. No, when we talked about it amongst ourselves, we thought it was some stray person, some stray militant, who really...
Not a local,
not
regular
a local person at all, no. One nobody knew.
Mm.
None of us knew, never did. Of course, we all knew of Emily Davidson, threw herself to the King's Horse.
What did you think about the burning of the church then, I mean yourself, and things like that?
Well, I thought it was stupid. It wasn't any, it didn't do any good at all, only get people's backs up.
Mm. I quite agree, I think that's actually right. Did it do a lot of harm here in Derby, do you think, to
no,
the women's
I don't think so.
Or,
It was always, if you were a bit lefty and people wanted to say, you know, she's, no, perhaps she did Bradshaw Church, but somebody who went to the church after the burning had died down, the place was gutted with Votes for Women papers, was littered with them. But whether that was done by an anti Votes for Women person, they never knew. It's built up again, isn't it, to the spire.
Was your mother an educated woman, do you think? I mean,
no.
Did she leave school at 11 or?
Yes.
Did she?
She did.
Very young. But she sounds as if she was an intelligent woman.
Oh, well, it was Uncle Sam. It was this John Alton who really brought the new ideas. And there was a lot of criticism because one of the sisters had a mental breakdown over a baby and she had to be taken away. And she was taken into the mental home and she never came out. And because her husband took one girl to one sister-in-law, or rather one brother-in-law, it was, and another sister took the baby. That was Evelyn, cousin Evelyn. Evelyn
Stocks.
Yes, brought up by Lizzie Harris.
Oh.
Aunt Polly. And and he never made a home, you see. And some people criticised him. They said that if he'd made a home, Emma, his wife, could have come to it. Well, his defence was that they should have had a turn before she went, because he used to walk the streets after her. She'd be walking the streets in a nightgown.
Mm.
And she was, you know, really wild.
They this is John Halton's wife, is it?
This is, no, this is Uncle Ernest Stocks.
Ah, I see, yes.
Uncle Ernest.
Yes.
How did we get on to him?
But can you tell me a bit about John Halton? How have you spelled it? Is it H-A-L?
No, A-L-T-O-N.
A-L-T-O-N, I see. And he was a sort of freelance lecturer, really, was he?
No, he wasn't. I don't know where he originally came from.
Mm.
But
he sounds an interesting person.
And he really talked to Sam, you think, and gave him some of his ideas?
Oh, he talked to Sam. He came to our house with the vegetarian foods.
Did he?
And my mother always fed him when he came. But because we knew he had a rough deal at home, his wife wouldn't have his vegetarian foods there. Mm. She didn't want that rubbish, she wasn't going to eat that stuff, and so on. So she left him. Mm. But I believe there was a Sid Alton, and Lily Alton. Mm.
Did your mother do cooking herself? Was she good at cooking, or did she leave that to the help you had in the house?
Oh no, anybody did it. I did it. Mm. Anybody did it. Mm.
She did it when she felt she needed to, and you did it and you helped.
Yes. For one thing, she had psoriasis rather badly.
Did she?
And of course, she couldn't play with food.
I see, yes.
You see, she always left her feeding to me. I used to rub the fat into the flour to make the pastry and put the puddings on to boil and all that sort of thing before I went to work.
Did she have psoriasis all her life then?
No, not all her life. I don't know what stage it came.
But while you were still a young girl anyway?
Yes, whilst I was still young. Mm. I must think more about it. You've unearthed more ghosts than I ever knew.
But psoriasis is a nasty disease, isn't it? It is.
My brother had it very badly. Mm. Very badly indeed.
Did he really?
Yes.
And it's contagious, is it? I mean, you catch
it? No, no.
Oh.
They say it isn't.
I see.
That it's a genital disease.
I see, yeah.
You can inherit it, but you can't contract it.
So how did having psoriasis affect your mother's life? Did it make things difficult for her?
Well, she wore gloves all the time. And it's terribly irritating. Poor old darling, she used to sit and rub her hands together with gloves on, you know, because they bled if you scratched them.
Do you think that's why she went in for vegetarianism, in the hope that it would cure her hands?
It was part of it. Mm. I think she was a vegetarian before. Mm. No, she... I think she'd got the psoriasis then.
Mm. I didn't realise she had that, because it was a very awful thing for a woman to have, wasn't it? I mean,
yes.
Because your hands, it's so important your hands you'd be able to use your hands, you know. Mm. Yes. Was she clever with her hands? I mean, could she make things and...
Oh, she couldn't very well, because her fingers were so rather stiff, but she could sew a button on, but she never had to. There was always somebody there to do it, you see, and she didn't put her hands in water if she could help it. We all were...
We all help.
All round, yes.
Did your brother go in for women's movement at all?
No, he didn't.
And your sister didn't either?
Mm, he went into the army.
Did he? Did he really? That must have caused trouble, didn't it?
Well, she put her in bed for a week. Oh, she couldn't forgive him. But he went into the medical corps.
Yes. Because that was less sort of harmful?
Less harmful, yes. Mm. It seemed to give her a bit of satisfaction. And then he got wounded in his leg at Etaps.
Did he?
And I don't think it was in the fighting, I think something else happened. He had a fall, or I forget how that happened. Oh, no, he was shot at because he came back to Cambridge, to a hospital in Cambridge.
Addenbrookes, that would be, wouldn't it?
Hmm?
Addenbrookes Hospital.
Yes.
Yes. So what did he do afterwards then, Mrs. Groves? Did he get a job?
He came back and went back to work, I think he... went back to work at the Midland.
That must have been a very sad period for your mother, mustn't it?
Mentally, yes, it distressed her.
Yes. Do you remember the general strike?
Oh, yes, I do.
Later on. What did your mother do during that? Do you remember?
Oh, well, of course she was all for it, but she wasn't in it.
No.
And I only remember standing over St Mary's Bridge in Derby, and looking to the crowd outside the railway gates, and they wanted to get in. Of course they'd shut the gates, the men couldn't get in, but they eventually dispersed.
You were both on the side of the strikers?
The strikers. What did they strike for?
Well, they were really striking because of the proposed cuts in the miners' pay, weren't they?
That was the issue, really.
Oh, it seems she was on the right side just about everything. This is gross.
Yes, this is true. Noel was interested up to about 6 years ago. Still going to adult education classes in the afternoon on world affairs.
Yes.
Generally curious.
Yes. Your mother went to WEA, did she, as well as you?
Yes, she did, yes. Did she? We went to Aberystwyth School.
Did you really? Yes.
I'm trying to think what the man's name was. He was secretary of the teachers' union. And he ran the class.
Yes.
It'll come to me in a minute.
So it looks as though your mother, although she didn't have much education at school, she was educating herself all the time.
She used her intelligence.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
She was.
And you've done the same.
Oh, thank you.
Well, yes, she has, but I have come to the conclusion that there was nothing demonstrative about it. It was pure interest and a feeling. Although, take for example the anti-vivisection. Mum hasn't done anything active in that, but she's supported the cause.
Yes, and she's just involved in progressive, interesting things going on.
Yes.
Out of intellectual curiosity, really, as much as anything.
Yes.
Yes, it's interesting. Because her mother...
What is the anti-vivisection people doing?
Well, I didn't know this, but it's a charming thing, isn't it? This.
No, I can't see it there.
Don't you? Is that better?
They're on about the seal coals and all this sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
What about the Wesleyan Chapel? Were they in favour of woman suffrage in the Wesleyan Chapel, your mother?
The moment, I reckon so.
Mm.
I didn't have much to do with it.
Mm. Your mother stayed a Wesleyan, did she, all her life?
I reckon, yes, she did.
Because quite a lot of socialists lose their faith, don't they, and go into...
Yes.
Agnosticism or irreligion, you know.
No, she never became an agnostic.
She seems to have a belief that the future is going to get better, doesn't she? Great optimism.
It's up to us to help it. That's
yes.
The point.
Yes. Yes.
She'd push a pamphlet into your hand and say, "Here, read this. Go and do something about it."
And you think you got that from her, the
I
same?
Sure I did, yes.
That's very interesting. Was she liked by the neighbours, your mother? Did she? Was she an important person locally, you know, who people
she
would...
She was never important, but she was...
Was she popular, you know?
No.
She was too eccentric, I suppose.
She was too eccentric, yeah.
I wondered if the neighbours were in trouble, whether they'd go to her to help them, you know.
Oh, she would go to them.
Would she really?
Mm-hmm.
I see, yes. Was she strict with you as a child, and did she...
We thought so. We thought so. But I suppose she wasn't.
What sort of ways was she strict, Mrs. Gross? Making you wear your shoes all the time, that sort of thing? And keeping your clothes nice? That...
Oh, yes, she was. But she would kept clean. And as I say, she wasn't going to have any white fancy pinafores. You'd always got to have a plain Holland pinafore. Something sensible. Well,
it's interesting. We're talking about the clothes again. She, your grandmother was very strict apparently about clothes, and they had to keep their clothes clean and keep themselves respectable.
I remember I've talked about Uncle Ernest and the man whose wife went mental, and my mother once had Aunt, well, two or three times she had Aunt Emma out of the hospital.
Did she?
And as I said, some of the family used to criticise Ernest because he didn't make a home.
And your mother was worried about Emma, was she?
Yes.
Tried to?
Yes, she tried to link her up. Well, anyway, she was at our house one day, Emma. It was a day out, and I'd got Faye as a baby. And
that's her daughter, is it? Emma's daughter?
No,
oh,
it's
sorry, it's you.
Friend.
Sorry, yes.
Faye, yes.
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 And she was sitting by the fire, and she took the baby from me to sit on her knee, and she started and turned her clothes up to see what her things were like underneath, to see if they were pretty, if they were, there was the lace. In her day there'd got to be a lace petticoat and everything, proper sort of nappies and so on. And she just lifted up the top dress and looked at the petticoat and turned that back, and then at the next one and looked at the lace. Two petticoats she was wearing.
Was she really mentally ill, Emma, do you think? Was she seriously ill? Or was it?
No, I always think that had she come home, she would have straightened herself out.
Yes, I see.
But they left her there too long, because when she did come out, one or the other of the sisters who came to visit her when she came to be at our house to be visited, they used to say, she talked about, she's not quite right, you know. She's not quite right, they'd say. She talked about so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. And I remembered saying, yes, well, they're the people she lives with.
Your mother felt that she shouldn't really have been in that asylum?
No, she shouldn't have been there so long. She was too late to bring her out now, because she couldn't ever get to know anybody.
No.
Now. She'd got to know all different people.
That's tragic.
Where she lived, where...
Of course it wouldn't happen these days, would it?
No, not anyway.
No.
Yes.
So your mother was very good to people like that, was she? I mean, people in trouble.
Oh, yes, she was.
Mm. Mm.
Anybody stranded used to land at Mrs. Robinson's.
Including Sam?
Sam was her brother.
Yes. But he must have taken a bit of looking after, really.
Well, he managed very, very well. Very well for a long time, he did, and then he did become helpless.
Well, that's a marvellous collection of details. You've got a very good memory, Mrs. Groves, haven't you?
I suppose I'm living it. As it's rolling out, you're just listening.
That's marvellous.
Oh, you've just been taxing her memory over the Wielden case.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes,
the Wielden case. And of course that all happened in Derby. Mm. And the local theatre company have just done a production which they've copyright written now.
Mm.
And they came up and talked to Mum.
Did they really? Yes, did they?
Because Hetty and Nellie, after Mother had gone to prison, they came to the Robinsons and were looked after until Mrs. Wielden came out of prison again.
Mm. So really they were a sort of centre for anything on the left that was going on locally, really, even if they weren't involved with that particular thing. Yes. But your father did well, did he, in his business? I mean, he must have done to build this house, I suppose. He did quite well, made money in his blacksmith work and as sanitary inspector later.
Well, he didn't do any blacksmithing.
Didn't he?
No, he never did any blacksmithing.
Wait a minute, I'm mixing up. It's
you
mother's father.
You mean your grandfather was the blacksmith? What was Jimmy?
He was a blacksmith originally.
He was a blacksmith originally.
Yes, but he came to be a blacksmith at the railway.
Mm. Yes. So he did do some blacksmithing.
Oh well, yes, years and years and years ago.
But he became a council employee,
yes,
really.
Yes.
Yes. And that was a good job, I suppose, in those days, wasn't it?
I suppose it was.
You had regular employment and so on. So you built this house, and you moved into your parents' house, really? Didn't
yes.
You? Mm.
Yes, I lived on Normanton Road, opposite Cox Leadworks.
Mm.
You don't know, David.
No, I don't. No, no. And then you moved in when your mother was old, did you? Or?
No. I came here in the 1950s.
I see.
Stayed at Normanton Road till then, where the health shop was. You see.
I see.
And,
Well,
you used to let this place, didn't you?
Yes. Mm. Mary Dewsbury, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Mary
yes.
and Fred.
Mm.
Yes.
And Mrs. Pass next door.
That's
right. Yes. It doesn't seem as though the suffrage movement was important in Mrs. Groves' life, really, does it? I mean, it's just part
it's
of a general
of,
collection
of, many,
of
yes.
progressive causes.
Yes.
I mean, she's not different because she was a suffragette particularly at all now.
No.
It's interesting, though.
She always was odd.
But you opened this health store and it ran for a long time, didn't it, Mrs. Groves? I mean, your vegetarian store.
Nearly 50 years.
Did it really? Yes.
Didn't it? Wasn't it, Faye?
It was, yes.
Mm.
1908 it started.
It's all become fashionable again, vegetarianism. You know, there's a fashion for it now.
Oh, very much so.
Which, you know,
yes.
is back to the beginning
it's
again.
It's really very laughable because, I mean, to us and to myself, it's just been part of my life and accepted it. But now everybody's going wild about it.
Mm. But you ran this shop then yourself. But
yes.
What sort of people came to the shop? Was it on the whole left wing people who came?
Oh, no, anybody.
Was it?
Mm. I had, in the First War, when sugar was very rationed, had a good, the Criddles were good friends to me. I used to buy black treacle in 28-pound tins to sell. The Mr. Criddle lent me two treacle canisters, and I used to sell it in pound jars, not tins, you see.
This is the Second War.
This is the Second War, isn't it?
Yes.
And you made money by making it into smaller packages, really, didn't you? I mean, you bought a big lot cheap and then sold it for a bit more in small bits. Is that how it worked?
I suppose so. I used to be on treacle duty on a Saturday morning. I know, stand in the shop and people used to bring their own jam jars and serve them with treacle.
But how did you get customers then? Did you try and make people into vegetarians, or did you just cater to the people really well?
No, it was growing outside without my effort. I was just supplying the demand that was coming from outside, and I had foods they couldn't get anywhere else.
Natural foods.
So did you join us? There was a vegetarian society, was there, here? Or didn't you have any organisation?
No, I never made any. There wasn't a society worth anything.
Not locally, but she's always subscribed to the vegetarian society.
Yes. Because she would be a rich woman now if she were doing it now, wouldn't she? I mean,
a lot
building
of hard
it all
work, on, yes. Although he's only a small business person rich these days.
Well, that's the point. But I mean, it must have been difficult at times. There weren't all that many vegetarians, you know, until recently. Now it's become fashionable among young people.
No. During the war, we had quite a lot of Jewish food.
Oh, did you really? Yes.
Kosher stuff.
Yes.
The
most of them were registered with us.
Matzo bread.
And a lot of artists, the travelling artists from the theatre, there'd invariably be two or three come up to the health shop for their rations. They were vegetarians.
You catered for the whole of Derby, did you? What was it?
Well, Derby had to come for health foods to Mother.
And there was nowhere else, really.
There was a herbalist, but not quite the same. No, if you wanted vegetarian margarine, you had to come to Mother. It just pottered along.
Yes, it did.
You know,
gave you
sometimes
a living, sort of
you'd
thing.
Get three people in the shop, and sometimes you'd go a couple of hours without anyone coming in.
And she delivered, did she, as well?
In a mild way, yes.
Did you? Yes.
Yes, only the big orders. People who hadn't any transport, we would take the orders out, but it, you know, on the way home or something like that. It wasn't a delivery service as such.
Very interesting business, actually. Did you, were you connected with the Quakers at all?
Not a registered Quaker.
Lot of connections.
And Wesleyans, nonconformists generally, you mix with,
I don't think I had.
We weren't religious, were we?
No, we weren't.
It just goes with that sort of origins, really, doesn't it? That sort of
The Fritchley Quakers, I visited them with Mother. Katie Ludlow, was she a Fritchley Quaker or was she just a Quaker?
No, she was Fritchley.
She was.
Katie Ludlow was
rather a strict order.
Katie Smith, yes.
Because that was one of the problems with the minute.